Well, welcome once again. We'll get into the message quickly because I want to get all this across to you as soon as I can because the time is getting late. The time really is getting late, and only what's done for Christ will last. Okay, I've entitled my message, Back to the Basics. Back to the Basics. You know, we're going at such a pace today that, well, our eyes. You know, if you remember when you used to drive a bicycle or you're on a motorcycle or you shove your head out the car window, the wind is blowing in your face. Feels good in the summertime, doesn't it? But, you know, if your eyes are open wide, they start to water, right? Well, you know, we're coming to the end of time, to the end where only what's done for Christ will matter, you know? And all I can say is, well, are your eyes getting blurry? Well, they should be because time is going by so quickly. And I'm sure many of you will agree with that. So this message is very important. I ask that you take the time to hear it all the way through because it just tells you so much about what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. All right? Okay, back to the basics. Okay, Christians. Christians are everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's a Christian. Over there, over there, over here, down there, all over the place. Everywhere you look, there's a Christian. Or is there? Or is there? Let's have a quick prayer. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity. Please give me utterance, Lord. Give me wisdom. Lord, those who listen, open their ears and their hearts, Lord, to what is said here today. For only what's done for thee will last, Lord. Oh, Lord, be thou glorified now through these words. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Back to the basics. You know, the story is told of a young street vendor, a boy selling meat pies. And the boy says, meat pies, hot mince pies, hot mince pies. Someone came by and bought one, but discovered that it was quite cold. Boy, he said, why did you call these pies hot? Well, sir, said the boy, that's the name they go by. Whoa, that's the name they go by. Christians, Christians everywhere you look. Why do you call them Christians? Because that's the name they go by. So, there are mainly people who are called Christians, but they are not Christians. Do you see what I'm getting at? These people are people who are called Christians, even call themselves Christians, but they are not Christians. They may attend church every Sunday, even on Wednesday. They may give a portion of what they have to feed the poor. They may do all sorts of good works, but inwardly, they are just ravening wolves. They're not Christians at all. They're not. They only think they are. Now, that's just the name they go by. They're merely shells. Shells. Without substance. Interesting. Can anyone listening to my voice tell me what is the most talked about, the most argued about, the most misunderstood verse in the Bible? Aside from the rapture of the church, that is. You know, it's amazing. It's just simply amazing how something that even a child can understand. In fact, I believe that's the whole point. So even a child can understand. Now, if we look in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, the Word of God says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So, even a child will understand. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't God good? Remember how it used to be? Remember? Well, you can't expect a child like my Billy to understand that. I mean, after all, he's only a child. Yeah, a woman went to see her pastor, and her question was, Pastor, tell me, when should I start teaching my child about the Word of God? Well, said the pastor, how old is the child? Oh, he's only five. Five, you say? Well, my dear woman, you're already 5 years and 9 months too late. 5 years, 9 months too late. Woo, goes back to the womb, doesn't it? Children can, and it's been proven from the womb. Have you ever heard it said that if you play a certain kind of music during a woman's pregnancy, that such music can have an effect on the child's post-womb activity? Have you ever heard that said? It's true. It really is. Then the skeptic speaks up and says, oh, yeah, sure. Sure. They're documented, folks. These are documented facts. So where am I headed here? Where am I headed? It's a long road, people, so hold on. Hold on to your seat. Did you know that forgiveness was required even before sin entered in? Well, how can that be, you say? Well, aren't Adam and Eve perfect? Weren't they perfect before sin entered in? There was no need for forgiveness before Eve sinned. At least, well, the Bible says, until that old serpent, the devil, came along, tempted her. Now, I didn't say they had sinned. I said they had to forgive each other. They had to forgive each other. Didn't your wife ever burn your supper? Did you ever roll over in bed and hit your wife in the mouth with your elbow? Oh, oof! Or vice versa. Oops, sorry, dear. Now, these things weren't necessarily a sin against God, and they weren't premeditated. Aren't some sins done instinctively, without intent? I'm sure she didn't mean to burn his supper, nor did he intend to give her the elbow. And I dare say they were not retaliatory. But is not God so holy that anything that's amiss is also unholy? Of course. Now, later on, there came an eye for an eye, a kick for a kick, a bite for a bite, and so forth. Man's way. Do you not think that God uses the spirit of love and understanding right from the beginning? Huh? Right from the beginning? Okay. Adam and Eve were perfect in the beginning. Until what? Until sin entered in, right? But somewhere in their relationship, their perfection was challenged. By those little pet peeves you naturally acquire the moment you put your feet on the floor in the morning. They had to happen, folks. Or they would not be normal. You would not be normal. I don't think they came to odds, Adam and Eve, like who's going to dig the latrine or plow the garden or cut the firewood. Let's face it, people. Women really were, and I say this respectfully, women really were the weaker vessel back then. That's how God made them. You know, when I read Proverbs 31, I look at the world today, and it staggers my mind. I've often wondered how many women would rather the entire chapter were omitted from the scriptures. Read it and see for yourself. Proverbs 31. You can't preach on it. I did. But you can only go so far. I did a message on it, but I think it died in the translation. It's on my website. You want to check it out. Then, 2,000 years later, after a woman got tired of being kicked about, what did they do? They got in shape. They grew some muscles and began heading back. I hate to say this, ladies, but don't you think you hit too much and too hard? And don't you think this may have had something to do with men becoming confused with their manhood? Huh? What's my whole point here? It's the name of the message, Getting Back to the Basics. And what are the basics, you say? Well, things that come natural, like brushing your teeth, going to be where you got to be tired of these things. I mean, like obeying your parents, love your mother-in-law. Aren't these all basics from God? All in His divine plan for mankind. We don't have to understand God and everything. Just obey Him. Later on, we'll understand. And this plan is heavy with forgiveness. When you mess up, be sure to fess up. When you mess up, be sure to fess up and take ownership of what you've done. Don't try to circumvent it. Don't try to get around it. Don't try to deny it. Fess up to it. Take ownership. You'll be a stronger person for it. All these basics are God-given and are meant to reap forgiveness. That's the first step in gaining forgiveness, to admit that you're wrong. When you pray to God, you know, you say, God, I'm sorry for what I just did or what I said. Please forgive me. So forth and so on, right? But if you don't admit you're wrong, He's not going to forgive you. You don't come to Him blubber and say, well, God, forgive me. You know what for? You have to admit it. Yes, God knows what for, but you have to admit it. Your proclamation of what you did is the first step. Well, it's repentance indeed, but it's the first step in your salvation. Yes, I did it. I'm sorry, God. Please make me stronger. Help me to overcome myself. I'm so weak. I need you. All these basics are God-given and are meant to reap forgiveness. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, what do you think that means? That means if you pray about it, then God will give you the strength to rise above it or overcome it. God is not just sitting there saying, well, look after yourself, you know. You did it, you live with it. It's not God. Our holy and righteous God is there, and that's why He sent Christ to die for our sins so that we might have this forgiveness that we so desperately need. Sometimes we say we're sorry because we don't know what else to say. It's like being caught with your hand in a cookie jar. Oops, sorry. And we need to get out of a bad situation real fast. Sorry doesn't always cut it. But what is real sorrow? Sorry is like a key to a door that sets us free, just as repentance is to the sinner to be forgiven. Sorry is the Son of God fastened to a cross of wood on a hill called Calvary. He was a man of sorrows, the Bible says. Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows. Sorry is man's response to what Jesus Christ went through to give us the life after death. Sorry is a man aged and defiant for his way of life, but willing nonetheless to change and come to the Savior. That's what sorrow is. Sorry, being sorry. Sorry is saying, thank you, Jesus, for taking my place and paying a debt I could never pay. You know, when I got saved in a muddy ditch a long time ago, I wasn't sorry because he lifted me up. I was sorry because I let him down. I truly believe that if you lay your heart and soul bare to the one who made you, to the one who took your place at Golgotha, I truly believe there's no better way to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have named my message, I'm sorry, instead of back to the basics. As far as I can recall, as far back as I can recall, repentance has been the key to salvation. And salvation is obtained by grace through faith with repentance as its cornerstone. You know, a long time ago, in fact, I was born a Catholic. My mom wasn't a Catholic, but my dad was. So I had to assume the Catholic faith. Okay, so as a child, they would make me go to the Catholic Church. They'd never take me. They'd make me go. I'd have to go to Sunday school, and I'd have to go to church on Sunday, what they call the Sunday Mass. And I would have to sit with the other kids in the front pew. So if you messed around, the priest could see you and scold you appropriately. And not only that, but he had to sit there and be still and be quiet and listen to the Mass the priest preached to you in Latin. You never had a clue what he's saying. It's all Greek to me. It's Latin. You never knew what he was talking about. And they never explained it to you. When you went to Sunday school, you had to listen to the nuns telling you, you know, how bad you were and how you better get your life in order. And you're only like 6, 7 years old. But there was one thing that really irked me when I was a Catholic. Going to confession. You know, confession where I was, in my hometown, confession always seemed to be on Saturday afternoon. And what I had to do was march over to the church. You open those big doors and you go in and everything was just echoed. You're even your breathing you hear coming back at you like a big hollow drum. Ever step inside an empty, big empty cathedral? Boom, boom, and everything echoes back in your face. Well, that's the way it was. And you go in there, and you might see one or two people in the pew way up front by the altar saying their rosary or something, saying their beads. But over in a corner, there was what they call a confessional. Now, the confessional, to me, looked like a big casket stood on end. And on either side of it were two curtained passageways where you went in and you sat down on a bench-like configuration, and the priest who was going to hear your confession was in the middle. And if there was someone across the way in the other seat, you would have to sit there and wait and be quiet, and you couldn't really pick up what they were saying. But when he came to your side, he'd open a shutter, and you'd hear it go up. Up goes the shutter. And then there was just a thin curtain, and you could almost at times see the shadow of the priest with his ear against the curtain. And he'd say, well, bless you, my son. What sins are you prepared to acknowledge today? Well, we were taught that when we went to confession, the first thing we'd say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned to Almighty God, and to you, Father, I confess myself of. And you give a list of all the sins you can remember. So I went through that. Whenever I went to confession, I had to go through that. You know, I mean, he really did play God, you know. And so, now this here is going to get pretty raw. So listen carefully. I don't want to repeat it. So there, you know, you've heard about abuse of children in the Catholic Church. Well, this may have had something to do with it or may not have. I don't know. But I know when I went to confession and he asked me what sins I committed, I would say, well, I accused myself of lying. Oh, who'd you lie to? I accused myself of stealing. What did you steal? This would all, you know, determine how much penance you had to say. And then he said, well, what others? You know, he'd be searching, kind of probing you. And if you say, well, I don't know. And he'd say, well, did you have any bad thoughts? Well, I probably guess so. I don't know. Well, come on now. Don't be shy. Just tell me. I want your sins to be forgiven. So I remember one day I said, well, I was walking along the road one day, and in the ditch I saw a magazine with girls all through it. Oh, really? And what did you do? Did you pick it up? Yeah. Yes, Father, I did. Did you open it and look through the pages? Yes, Father, I did. Oh. And what did you think when you looked at the pictures? I don't know. Well, did it excite you? I don't know, Father. Well, you must tell me. I mean, we want your sins to be forgiven. So you must tell me what you thought. Did you have evil thoughts when you looked at these pictures of naked women? I guess so. So, anyway, to make a long story short, what he was probing me to do was to get him excited. And he would insist that you tell him every minute detail. And that really, really bothered me. But you know, that was a long time ago. In fact, it was over 47 years ago. That's when I left the Catholic Church. I got saved and God took me out of there. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned to Almighty God and to you, Father. And to you, Father. Tell the priest who sinned to the priest. And I accuse myself, and you give the list, stealing, lying, and taking the Lord's name in vain, and just about every sin imaginable. He'd get that out of you somehow. Then the priest would say, okay, for penance, I want you to say one act of contrition, 10 Hail Marys, 12 Our Fathers, etc., etc., etc. Wow, you'd be there for half an hour, you know, just repeating yourself, Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with, you know, Father, I mean, it just didn't seem right. It couldn't do any good because you go out the door and you go right back to your old sinful way again. You know, for more than 40 years, no matter what my personal thoughts, Catholicism was my way to heaven. All other ways were wrong. I believed in the church at Rome. I believed in Mary worship. I believed in purgatory. I believed in praying to the saints. I believed sins could only be forgiven by a priest. I believed everything that came out of my mouth, or out of the mouth of a priest, rather, was from God. I believe that the Pope was the vicar of Christ and that there was no man holier upon this earth than the Pope. I also believe that not every sin was a sin. Now there's a tricky one, that a sin is not a sin. Catholicism rated and placed the issue of sin into categories. Two main categories. There was venial sin, and then there was mortal sin. Now, venial sins were supposed to be those tiny, insignificant sins. Having a drink, smoking, cussing, lying, kicking your dog, throwing apples, rotten apples at crippled old men. There was a restriction on the stealing, though. When it came to stealing, you were only allowed to steal up to $20 a week. Didn't say anything about giving it back. You were only allowed to steal up to $20 a week. As Catholics, were allowed to do, well, just about anything, but only in moderation, A venial sin will never keep us out of heaven, they said. No, you don't have to worry about these. Just keep them down to the minimum, okay? Okay, when I curse at my sister, I'll make sure I don't get too loud, all right, Father? Oh, man. Now we come to the granddaddy of them all, mortal sins. Mortal sins, also known as the biggies. These were purgatory sins, like murder, blasphemy, rape. But you know something? Child abuse was never mentioned. Why? Why was that? I think we all know why. Let me tell you this. When you went to purgatory, Rome got a lot richer. Oh, yes, it did. Relatives and friends were committed to buying your freedom out of purgatory. How? By buying prayer cards from the church. By requesting special prayers. And in so doing, putting more money in the offering. Like an extra $20 to pray for Joe Blow down the road. Buying candles from the church. And increasing your weekly offering. Now, as a Catholic growing up in rural Nova Scotia, we were not allowed to read the Bible. Can you imagine that? I didn't think anything about it back then. But we were not to read the Bible. The church said we couldn't understand it, so do not try to read it. Well, I wanted to know why not. I wanted all my questions answered. We had to pray to statues. Why Mrs. Brown had to lick the wafer off the floor when it fell from her lips. Why priests wore dresses, I wanted to know. The answer was always the same. If you're not a proper Catholic, then you can never go to heaven. Wow. I was so glad to be a Catholic, let me tell you. What they meant was, it didn't matter what sins you committed, as long as you remained a Catholic, you'd still go to heaven. You'd still go to heaven. So, naturally, I kept on following what I thought to be right and continued to thumb my nose at all the other churches. I was going to heaven. They were going to hell. They were all going to hell. As I grew old, the fog I had been living in began to clear from my mind. After 40-some years of pretending, reality began to click in. And all I could hear in my ears was a mob of people yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Well, God finally removed me from the biggest cult on the face of the earth. But I didn't curse it. I actually felt sorry for them. With the hand of God in mind, he led me out of the darkness into his perfect light. Since that day, I never looked back except to pity it. Do you know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel, short, sweet, and clear, of Jesus Christ. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to tell you, I was a new creature in Christ. Oh, what a Savior I have. What a Savior I have. A lot of water has flowed under that old bridge. And now, I have a new identity. I've repented, and a new life, and a new beginning in Christ. But you know, somewhere along the way, the roses along that sweet garden path will always begin to wither. If you've never met a Christian wimp, let me tell you what they're like. A Christian wimp. A Christian wimp says they agree with the Bible, but they cower. They cower when persecution begins. A Christian wimp removes all his armor when he's called to the front lines. He removes it all because he doesn't believe it will protect him. A Christian wimp will not display a bumper sticker for Christ for fear of being ridiculed. A Christian wimp will not wear a lapel pin bearing the name of Christ. A Christian wimp will always find a way to circumvent the battle in defense of our Savior and slip out the back door. That's a Christian wimp. And finally, a Christian wimp cannot bear to be labeled a religious nut. A Christian wimp. Are you a Christian wimp? Let it be known, when you decide to stand in the dust of Golgotha and you look upon the blood-soaked countenance of the one who set you free, it is then you will realize the weight of the sin that he bore. I think of Matthew 10, verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. My friends, I call you my friends because I want you to be. But I want you to be saved too. I implore you. I implore you. Please, if you're not sure of your salvation, or you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, that you will do so now. You will do so now. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Oh, God have mercy on you. Amen. Amen.